Dub Nation, it's Lindy Waters. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Take it away, Bonte.
Thanks, Lindy. Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky, 888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text. Give your thoughts on the program. Been talking Niners, talking Dubs, a lot of Dubs. And why not? It's the time now to really buy into Jonathan Kuminga. Has he turned a corner? Steve Kerr seems to think so. Joe Shasky thinks so. The time is now to build around him. Is he untradeable at this point? Got to plant your flag. 888-957-9570 is the number. And be sure to download the Odyssey app. 95.7 The Game. Thousands of other stations and millions of podcasts are free on that Odyssey app. Sports talk, music, news, other great podcasts like Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys are all available. Follow your favorite teams like the Golden State Warriors, and you can find all the games on there for free. Again, did I say it's free? It's free. It's awesome. It's amazing. And you can catch interviews like Steve Kerr, who joined Devone and Lo Neal last week right here on these airwaves on 95.7 The Game. Lomas Brown, a former Detroit Lion and current radio color analyst for the team, joining us at 9:20 to preview Niners Lions. We'll get back into that game at some point today because it may not seem like a big game for the 49ers, but there are still a lot of things to play for when it comes to this team and some of these players. And obviously, will the Detroit Lions be playing anyone tonight? That's another thing, because tonight might not really matter for them. It really doesn't in the grand scheme of things, because next week when they play the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday Night Football, it's win and you get the number one overall seed. And if you don't, you fall all the way back and you're going to have to be on the road in that first round. So massive implications there, but also massive implications tonight for the Golden State Warriors, because I want to see them coming off this win, Joe Shasky, going up against the best in the East and a team that quite frankly embarrassed you. They just embarrassed you last time they played in Cleveland, Ohio. The Cavaliers, what they did to you, it wasn't even a game. I literally turned it on. I remember it was a Friday night. I had the kids, Benny and Nora, we were leaving Target, and I turned the game on. It was RC Davis on our airwaves, and I was waiting to hear the score because it was halftime. And like, and he kind of mumbled the score because it was so egregious. Like, yeah, Warriors down by a lot. It's so-and-so to so-and-so.
It was like 90 to 40.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I was like, something they're down 40 ridiculous. Points? Yeah. It's something like that. I was like, oh my God. So, yeah, they need to play for some pride at the very least tonight on their home court.
Well, and I think Jonathan Kuminga needs to continue to play well. You know, like that's important against a very long athletic team with multiple bigs that are very, very good defensively. Obviously, you got the young man drafted out of USC.
Mobley, yeah.
And then you've got Jared Allen. And So this is a team that gives them fits. And Donovan Mitchell traditionally has given them fits. So, you know, this is a big one. You know, like, I just think that everyone's afraid to acknowledge where this is going. And what I mean by where this is going, it's like, Steph's going to be Steph until the eternity of time. Mm. It's like, not Father Time is undefeated. Yeah. All right? And very few people get to throw their last pitch, throw their last touchdown, hit their last walk-off in the way Jordan did against the Utah Jazz.
And even he came back for a season with the Wizards.
That's what I'm saying. Like John Elway was not the same player at the very end, walking off with his finger in the air after the two Super Bowls.
Correct. Same with Peyton Manning, also finished with the Broncos in the Broncos uniform.
And No one's saying that Steph can't be great occasionally from night to night. Like just the other day, he had 10 assists and one turnover. He was brilliant, amazing. But the days of him carrying this organization on their backs to a decent seed and then having the enough requisite energy to then drag them through the playoffs, I just think those days are over. And I look at the Warriors right now and I say to myself, all right, look, you're not a championship contender. And that's okay. I know we only want to win championships. We won four. It was amazing. You know what would be fun? Getting back into the playoffs and letting Jonathan Kuminga, you know, let loose in a real playoff series so that he has something to build on from there. Does that mean I stop working the trades? No. I'm always trying to land somebody somewhere. What I'm saying is these Cam Johnson for Kuminga deals, these Jimmy Butler for Wiggins and Kuminga, what are we doing? No. I got to figure out who Jonathan Kuminga is. Okay, and then I'll figure out how much money I want to commit to him. But eventually, down the line, this is the guy I'm passing the baton to. We're not there yet. No one's saying this is Kuminga's team, Curry's marginalized. No. This is still Curry's team. I'm saying every now and then, one out of three, one out of four times, clear it out and let Jonathan Kuminga go one-on-one with someone. And let's let this guy go downhill. I watched Curry the other night, and again, it was a bad night, but he had 5 turnovers. And like 3 of them were atrocious. And then he took some early shot clock, what I call heaves. And prime Curry could get away with that because he was so spectacular. He's just, he's not at 100%.
It's emblematic of the season he's going to have. On Christmas night, he had an amazing performance against LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. He was awesome. It was vintage Steph, vintage LeBron. Again, I use the word vintage. It's not like that anymore on a day-to-day.
Exactly.
Both LeBron and Steph missed their neck. Oh, I think LeBron played, but he missed the one after that with a tummy ache or something like that. Or he had the flu. Flu's going around, stomach flu. Joe Shasky, he got sick.
Yeah.
It's going around. Be safe, by the way, people. Use the hand sanitizer, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, like that's emblematic of what it's going to be and how what it's been this season. He'll have a great game one day. He might, if it's the front end of a back-to-back, he's going to miss that game. And then you don't know what you're going to get after that. Like, it could be another good game, or it could be kind of a pedestrian game. And I think we're just so accustomed to him being great all the time that we've forgotten just how much this wear and tear, it gets on Steph, it gets on LeBron, it gets on all these players. It got on Kobe, Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki. When you're that talented, but you have to shoulder the load, not just physically, but emotionally too. Like, just think about the last couple seasons, what Stephen Curry has had to deal with Joe Shasky. The Jordan Poole punch, Klay Thompson, like dealing with all that drama, Draymond Green, Steve Kerr, Bob Myers moving on, you bring in Mike Dunleavy, all with Joe Lacob as your owner, and who wants to win more than Joe Lacob? Not a lot of people, and he will put your money where your mouth is, but he demands excellence out of you too. So there's pressure built into every single thing he does to that. It just is a matter of time for when the emotional part starts hitting the physical as well. We're seeing it this year, and we're not saying he's washed.
No.
We're not saying he's cooked. But it's refreshing to see a young guy kind of help out the older guy finally and being consistent in Jonathan Kuminga. It's refreshing to see. So when people try to tell me and tell you, like, oh, but we need to, the time is now. The stock's never higher in Jonathan Kuminga. No! We're seeing with Steph in real time. So you want to bring in Jimmy Butler? That might be the same thing. Like, who's to say Jimmy Butler, right when you trade for him, and the next year he doesn't start getting knee tendonitis?
He's 36.
You don't think that guy has wear and tear on him?
Talk
about the load that Steph's been shouldering. You kidding me? There's literally a meme of Jimmy Butler exhausted. Exhausted.
The
That's a meme.
Who we equate with Thibodeau, who runs people into the ground, we want to get on this last leg.
No.
Who also wants $60 million.
And if there's another name out there that I'm missing that you want to go like Sam Lubman last week.
But I want Vucevic.
Okay.
So like, this is a big example.
That's not going to take Kuminga.
What?
That's not going
to
take Kuminga.
But that's my point. See, to me, the move for the Warriors is get another big. Trace is really starting to play well right now. Like, this is where I go to, like, people. I'm like, hey, we got to watch games now. We can't just talk narratives and big picture and, like, are you watching games or are you not? Because when I watch games, you know what I've watched this year? Of the 31 games played, Steph is 10th most games played on the Warriors. He's played 25 games.
Mm. That's interesting.
Okay. Do you know who suited up in every single game, basically, except for the two they had knee tendonitis? Jonathan Kuminga. All right?
Durable.
He's the second highest point scorer right now on the team by just a small margin over Andrew Wiggins. But we would all agree, Andrew Wiggins has been given more opportunities in prime situations than Kuminga this year.
Correct.
So,
I've been impressed with Andrew Wiggins.
I have too. He's had a great bounce back.
Yeah.
But so you're telling me in these trade scenarios, you're probably going to have to surrender Kuminga and Wiggins, who are your second and third most reliable players right now?
Yeah, that's a no-go.
What are we doing?
Well, and
we're chasing our tail.
I would like to know, because if you don't believe at 888-957-9570 that anyone's untradeable on this team other than Stephen Curry, I would like to know why and for who. Like, what's the direction? If you are making a trade with Jonathan Kuminga, what's the direction? Sam Lubman last week brought up a guy like Zion Williamson. That's interesting to me. But at the same time, you just mentioned a guy being healthy, and Jonathan Kuminga, for the most part in his career, he's been healthy. And I don't scoff at stuff like that early in someone's career. I think that could be such a big detriment, and it's rare for me when it comes to any sports. When a guy's dealing with so much injuries at the start of his career, whether it's baseball, whether it's basketball, whether it's football, it's very hard for me to not look at them through they're an injury-prone guy. Through that lens, an injury-prone lens, if you will. Jimmy Garoppolo, at case in point, hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Even early in his career with New England.
It's true.
Hurt a lot. And it was just a pinky. It was just a hand thing, right? But it was always something. And whether it was an ankle, whether the ACL, you can't predict stuff like that. But the shoulder, stuff like that. Some guys just will never get it. And with Zion's case, like, the weight is also an issue. We talked to Nick Friedel, our Odyssey NBA insider. That is a real thing.
That's a red flag for me.
He was just at the Smoothie King Center and watched them play. And he said it looked like he gained a lot of the weight back. And Nick was saying that it was just, it's disappointing to see something like that, because you see the talent, the raw ability, and to watch a guy eat away his career like that sucks. And that scares the hell out of me. Oh, but if he gets in our culture and he gets in our system. Yeah, but no. Sometimes a Jamarcus Russell is just a Jamarcus Russell. And you know what? Maybe people don't like that comp because Zion's done a hell of a lot more in the NBA than Jamarcus has. But don't get it twisted. Jamarcus Russell, and who played at LSU and played in the state of Louisiana, by the way, one of the most talented players in the history of the sport. The guy was a physical specimen that could throw the length of the football field. He had some mobility. He could do it all. It was the up here, though.
Yeah.
And just didn't care. Like, that's the thing to me. Do you care? I know Jonathan Kuminga cares. When he makes comments,
I totally agree.
Like, when he says, I want to be like Kobe, and he has that picture, I want to stay in this Golden State Warrior uniform for the rest of my career. People laughed at that. Warriors fans were already ready to ship him off when he made those comments. What was it, a year ago, 2 years ago? He wanted to be a Warrior for life. You know what? That means something to me if I'm a fan. In the day and age where the young guys, like a Jonathan Kuminga, want to just go be buddy-buddy or because they grew up watching LeBron move from team to team. They grew up watching Kevin Durant move from OKC to the Golden State Warriors, to the Brooklyn Nets, to now the Phoenix Suns. Like, they watched some of their favorite players bounce around, but for him to say that Kobe was my favorite player and he stayed in one uniform his whole career and I want to do that in Golden State, that means something to me if I'm a Golden State Warriors fan. So yes, I would like to build around guys like that instead of a guy like a Zion Williamson.
It's the guy has done very little wrong, and yet he has been one of the most scrutinized players that I can remember in one of my local team's jerseys. It's kind of wild to me. It's wild to me. And look, has there been times where I've been frustrated with him? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did I love him pouting in the playoffs a couple years ago? Not really. I didn't love that at all. I didn't love what he said about the coach.
It was immature. It was an immature, but he was an immature player at that point.
Absolutely. And he was also in a tough situation.
Correct.
Which I think also we all can relate to doing something that we regret, you know?
Scottie Pippen famously sat on the bench because he didn't like a play call and he wasn't getting the ball in a playoff game.
I know.
Scottie Pippen, one of the greatest players of all time. Like, imagine he did that today in today's day and age of social media. He'd be eviscerated.
I mean, Cam Ward's being eviscerated for a meaningless game. Oh. It's an exhibition game, and he's being eviscerated for leaving the game.
Where the trophy is a Pop-Tart microwave.
I mean, you fight on the sidelines in games like that.
Toaster. It's a toaster, not a microwave.
But I think a large part of the Jonathan Kuminga conversation also revolves around Draymond, and in particular, Steph Curry. And, like, I look at Steph Curry, it's like, all right, so 2020, 2021, he averaged 32 points a game. That was remarkable. An absolutely remarkable season. And then he got back up to about 25.5. Then that was the year they won it all, all right? And then almost 30, 29.4. And that was the year that they lost to the Lakers. Last year, down to 26. This year, and it's a 25-game sample. This is not a 5-game sample. This is a 25-game sample. It's about a third of his season. He's under 23 points a game. That's his lowest since he was 24 years old. That's 12 years ago. And I think that a large part of how we have to view this is that this is not prime Steph anymore. All right, now, is he still great? Of course he is. But the other night is a great example. He had the around-the-back shot, one hand, as he's like floating, running,
incredible,
and throw it in. And it was a highlight that everyone saw online. But if you watched the game in the final 6 minutes, Jonathan Kuminga willed them to a win. Yeah. Draymond Green had a big stop. You know what Steph did? He clanked a couple and turned it over.
5 turnovers for Stephen Curry.
And I think 3 were in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was
not
good.
I'm not saying that like Curry's done and he's finished. No, what I'm saying
KD,
is,
by
like,
the way,
the guy just, he doesn't look right this year. Yeah. And I think that any conversation about who you trade and what you're bringing in has to start with acknowledging that Steph is not one of the top 5 players in the league currently. It's okay. It happens.
Steve Kerr, after Saturday's win, after the game, on how important it is that Kuminga had this 2-game stretch.
That's a big deal, you know. that's what great players do. They stack together, you know, multiple games. And so we're, you know, we're going to stay with this rotation, you know, with him coming off the bench. It allows us to get our defense set with Draymond and Trace, and then he comes in and plays with both of those guys. That gives him the space he needs at the four. But, you know, we closed tonight with him at the three defensively with Trace and Draymond, you know, that would be ideal if we can get to that point where we can play him, you know, at the three and the four. But I like where he is, and I think our team has a chance now to rebuild our momentum. I think this was an important win.
Now, I want to pause for a second. Draymond was guarding KD late in that game, mm-hmm. and Trayce Jackson-Davis was in the middle of, I believe, a career high in points, rebounds. It was maybe his best game ever. If he can continue to play the way that he's been playing,
double-double.
Now he's an option. Not necessarily he's in there every time, but depending on the lineups and who you're going up against, and I think a big part of this, when you don't have Devin Booker out there, it allows you to create, and this is the guy for the Phoenix Suns.
God, do they miss him.
No question. But it allows you to play combinations that you can get away with. And I think you can kind of get away with that particular late-game closing lineup when they're playing Mason Plumlee. And who was the other guy? Igagwe?
Okogie.
What?
Josh Okogie?
No, not Okogie, the big man.
Oh,
he's kind of funky.
Oso Iguodaro? Iguodaro.
Yeah. They were playing him. It was him and Plumlee going back and forth in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And so, like, Trayce continues to play like he has, which has been a great development. Awesome. But the other element is like, hey, Buddy Hield is basically in an ice box right now. Mm. The guy is so frozen.
Yeah.
He's a guy that maybe you close with him. Maybe it's Dennis Schroeder sometimes. Like, I think that there's that up in the air fifth spot can be a number of guys depending on matchups and who's on fire right now.
Well, that you just brought up a guy right now, and we're gassing up Jonathan Kuminga, and rightfully so, but it just also highlights just no one else really stepping up. Like when Steph has bad games, like he's hasn't had great games. He had one on Christmas, which why that Christmas Day loss hurts so much, because not only did he have a great Steph game, he had a great Andrew Wiggins. Both of them had offensive explosions, and you still lost that game in which the Lakers didn't have their best player in Anthony Davis, a guy that's just been a thorn in the Warriors' side for so long, and they were missing him, and he couldn't take advantage of it, which was just unfortunate. Kuminga didn't have his greatest game on that one either. But the fact that Steph did not have a great game, Andrew Wiggins did not have a great game on Saturday, but Jonathan Kuminga did, and you won the game, that means something. When Brandon Podziemski isn't giving you anything offensively, when Buddy Hield isn't giving you anything offensively, no one on the bench. You had three other points off the bench in that game. Lindy Waters had 1-3, and that was it. That was it. Draymond Green actually scored. That was great to see. Trayce Jackson-Davis, obviously, to your point. Like, so in a year where you're not getting anything else offensively from anyone, there's no excuses not to lean in to Jonathan Kuminga going forward at this point. And I'm glad Steve Kerr is not only doing it, but he's speaking on it. That's just so refreshing for me to hear, as we have Steve Kerr on here, courtesy of the River Islands guest line, every single week throughout the season right here on 95.7 The Game.
And not only are you seeing Steve Kerr acknowledge it in postgame, but you're also hearing Draymond Green acknowledge it in postgame.
Yes.
He had some great sound that I'd love to play here.
By the way, did you see Draymond Green getting after Buddy Hield?
I did.
In his past, just absolutely crushing him on the hot mic.
I didn't know who he was yelling at on the broadcast, and then everybody said who it was. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and Buddy Hield kind of shaking it off, shrugging it off. Are we sure Buddy Hield might not be in a trade package?
Well, who knows? He's in.
Is he allowed to be traded? First of all, is he allowed to be traded?
I have no idea.
I think he is. We'll get in on that.
I don't know.
But that's an interesting, because I could see some other team, maybe a contender elsewhere, that might need a 3-point shooter. And just hypothetical, even in the back pocket.
Well, the Moses Moody, to me, feels like he's so gone. It's not even. And I don't want to.
What's going on with his knee? Yeah, like, is that
an injury? Did you see on Friday night? He hurt his forehead. As in his ego, because he tried to yam one late in that game, and he got rejected so bad. He doesn't pass. Like, he comes in, he's just shooting and shooting.
I get it, though, because he needs to try to get his at this point,
but,
right?
I mean, it's they're in a tough spot. Going back to the Draymond and Kerr and Steph, they're acknowledging in postgame, but to me, they're deferring on the court late in the game. And when they cleared out, they're like, no, you take it, JK. And because that was the matchup. Sometimes you have to play the matchup late in games. And when they all deferred to him on the court and they let him attack the rim, it was like, thank you, finally.
Especially going at the bigs, which Steve Kerr talked about as well after the game on Saturday, is Kuminga matching up against those bigs on offense.
We're trying to do that. I think what I like is that he's not settling for, you know, the 17-foot pull-up. He's trying to get to the rim, and then if it's not there, he's kicking it out. And then late clock, he's one of the few guys who can create a shot, or, you know, that's where that mid-range shot comes into play. So I just think the process is better overall for him.
Got to trust the process. Shout out Sam Hinkie. And the Warriors will be playing the 76ers in a few days. Hey, I got a lot of love for Sam Hinkie, all right? He was doing what we all knew needed to be done, and he got Joel Embiid a Hall of Famer, all right? So miss me with that era of being trash. You guys got Joel Embiid. Still haven't gotten to conference finals, but it is what it is. But the Sixers are playing a lot better. And this is actually a key stretch for the Warriors, not to find out if they're like contenders or pretenders. Yeah. It's still a long season. But to get out of this, you want to build some momentum right now, because the last thing you want to be is hovering around 500 for so long, because then you just feel like a lock is sort of the play-in situation. Right now, if the season ended, you are a play-in team, Joe Shasky. And this season is just so, like, I'm looking at it right now. The Lakers are fifth seed, and they're three games ahead of the Phoenix Suns that are the 11th seed. So, like, anything can change right now. The Lakers can go on a little mini losing streak. Then they're back at 500. Warriors can go on a little mini winning streak. It's going to be mired and muddled here. Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, T-Wolves, Warriors, Spurs, like, Suns, all those teams. It's just the West is nuts. By the way, you look, maybe we take a minute or two and just the 12th seed right now, the Sacramento Kings. See what they did over the weekend? Firing former Warriors assistant and was the head coach, obviously, Mike Brown of the Sacramento Kings. Fire him in favor of their guy, De'Aaron Fox. For those of you who don't know, De'Aaron Fox, a Rich Paul and a Clutch Sports client, was a little disgruntled with the vision of this team going forward, the situation, and they're not playing well right now. They're 13-19. And Vivek thought it was, you know, the owner of the Sacramento Kings thought it was the right idea to fire the head coach in favor of their star player, De'Aaron Fox. Doug Christie, come on down, former assistant, former player for the franchise, and now the interim head coach. What did you think about that, real quick, before we get back into Jonathan Kuminga? The Kings firing Mike Brown and trying to empower De'Aaron Fox, who made a boneheaded mistake the game before Mike Brown ended up getting fired late in that game. It was a low IQ move from De'Aaron Fox, and there's been a lot of low IQ moves from a lot of Sacramento Kings players, and to put that all on the head coach I thought was laughable. To fire a guy in which brought you close to the second round, brought you to any relevance that you've seen the last damn near 15 plus years in Mike Brown, to fire him because you're five games under 500 and you're on a little bit of a losing streak in favor of a guy in De'Aaron Fox who I don't even know is a franchise player. But you've built yourself into this position. And by the way, it wasn't Mike Brown's fault. You were the one, Vivek, that wanted De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, not Tyrese Halliburton. How's that move looking out right now?
Well, you know what I thought of when I saw the Kings situation?
Sorry, that was a lot. I just threw
no,
your play,
I love it.
But there's just so much baked into that that I wanted to just get your thoughts on.
Two things. Number one, boy, things change quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Think of how good Kings fans were feeling just 2 years ago when they went up against the Warriors. And they should have beat the Warriors. Like, let's call it what it is. Like, and I'm one of the few people that will admit it online. They should have beat the Warriors. It took a horrible Harrison Barnes miss, and I'm going to get to Harrison Barnes in a second, for them to escape by their teeth here. Also, ownership matters. When I see people ripping Joe Lacob, I'm like, are you okay in the head? Really? Like, Joe Lacob doesn't want to win. No, Vivek doesn't want to win. Vivek is what a bad owner looks like, not Joe Lacob. Joe Lacob, are you kidding me? His low watermark is higher than Vivek's high watermark as an owner. So, like, ownership matters, and we should be very grateful. And I know I get frustrated with the Giants at times. Giants, Niners, and Warriors, we have great owners. Vivek is terrible.
And his Q rating right now, the fact that he helped out his boy John Fisher.
Oh, that's a whole
And that's a whole nother. I'm just saying.
That's a curse, though.
It's a layer, though. And I saw Sam Esfandiari, our friend, Warriors World, all that sort of stuff, saying, yeah, you make a deal, John Fisher.
Seriously.
It's going to come back to bite you some way or another. And maybe it's doing that right now. Just, let's be honest. The tandem of Fox and Sabonis, maybe their high watermark was just the second round.
Maybe.
That's not Mike Brown's fault.
No.
That's not his fault. I'm sorry. The team on a little bit of a losing streak. Can they be better? Maybe. That maybe just the talent isn't going to... And De'Aaron Fox, who do you think you are, man? You're, like, Do you mind how many players I get to in the Western Conference before I get to De'Aaron Fox when it comes to just drafting my power rankings? De'Aaron Fox doesn't come in my top five. Maybe top 10? Are you even the best player on your team? Sabonis might be better than you, bud. Like, that's just what, another thing in all this. And I went back to the Tyrese Haliburton situation and just marrying yourself to the wrong person. And you're seeing that potentially right now because I saw what Tyrese Haliburton did last season. Maybe he got a favorable draw there in the Eastern Conference. But fact of the matter is he got to the Eastern Conference Finals. They won a game. They had a blowout win, I want to say, against the Boston Celtics. Did they not in that game? Like, yeah. One, I think they ended up losing the series. But Boston was so much better than anyone else over there. But just getting there was an achievement for them.
Absolutely.
And him being a part of the Olympic team, all that sort of stuff. It was maybe the summer of Tyrese Haliburton. He was feeling himself. And I think Kings fans are probably feeling some buyer's remorse at that point, getting Sabonis and shipping him out. So just be careful what you wish for also, Dub Nation, when yes. It comes to how things can change very quickly, to your point. And planting your flag like a Jonathan Kuminga, like, I think planting your flag with a Jonathan Kuminga compared to a De'Aaron Fox, I'd much rather do. I see the high point with Jonathan Kuminga more so than a De'Aaron Fox because of what he could do on both sides of the floor. What he could be doing offensively and defensively, Joe Shaz. It's not even close to me. And they're different players. Yeah. I'm not saying they're like-for-like guys. De'Aaron needs the ball in his hands constantly and stuff like that. But there are some parallels to what I'm seeing right now, how things could go potentially for the Dubs. And you can see it just 90 miles north or however far Sacramento is.
You know what's wild to me is, like, I'll see Warrior fans say things like, Jonathan Kuminga needs to earn X, Y, and Z. The way Curry and them earned X, Y, and Z. You guys do realize that, like, they literally traded away Monte Ellis to pave the way for Steph Curry to have full empowerment, right? Now, and I get it. Times were different. You know, they didn't have a franchise player. You know who the best player was at the time? It's David Lee, right? Now, at some point, they kind of told David Lee to take a backseat to Draymond Green, and that was by accident, not by design, because he ended up getting hurt. Klay Thompson was given the two-guard spot and was allowed to thrive. Now, they brought in Iguodala at the same time that they had drafted Harrison Barnes. But let me ask you, was Harrison Barnes a really good Warrior and a good draft pick?
I think so.
You do?
I do. I think he really good might be a stretch.
No,
I think
no,
he's
I just,
good.
I, no, whatever. No, yeah, I don't want to parse your words. I'm just saying, like, was he good?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
for
so
where
too.
He was drafted and what he gave you to the team, he's a champion. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Are we going to remember the ending where it was bad? Are we going to remember? Like, see, that we do this as a fan base.
Exactly.
Right? It's like, are we going to do that with Klay Thompson, though, too? Like, who had a horrible ending to his Golden State Warriors career. Like, come on. Like, I can't remember just that. I think that's being fickle. But yes, overall, good career.
Yeah, and I like Harrison Barnes. Good guy.
He is.
He was given so many opportunities to take the mantle, all right, at a time when they did have Iguodala, an older player who was significantly better than him at that time. He averaged in 4 years with the Warriors. He played four full seasons. Kuminga's in his fourth season. He never had more than 11.7 points per game. He basically averaged 10 points a game as a Warrior. He played 8,000 minutes. Kuminga is at, like, basically a half of that many minutes and averages more points per game in his fourth season. Kuminga rebounds just as well. Assists and turnovers, all similar. Now, Harrison was a better free throw shooter and a better three-point shooter, but Kuminga takes more of them and hits more of them. And, like, I'm saying, like, not everything comes to everyone equally, depending on the situation you inherit. Harrison Barnes drafted onto a team that had a role ready for him to take. Jonathan Kuminga has had to scrap for every minute he's ever gotten, and we have made excuses on why we can't play him and can't allow him to play.
Why do you think that is? Obviously, both being, and it's interesting, I've heard the comp before, but you're bringing it back up. Both seventh overall picks, by the way.
Yeah.
First round. One was drafted from where? North Carolina.
He was the Indiana Player of the Year.
Right. He had all that. He had the collegiate experience. Pedigree. He had the pedigree.
Raw.
He's great. Get raw. Just a great role model.
Very
too.
Quiet.
Very quiet, but eloquent when he spoke.
A good ball player.
Very good ball. And good person.
Yeah.
Right?
A guy I root for.
Yes. And not to say, and we're not saying Jonathan Kuminga is not a bad, he's not a bad person.
No.
He's young, but there are things about him. He didn't come from North Carolina. He went to the G League Ignite. Basketball wasn't ingrained in his DNA like Harrison Barnes, probably when Harrison 5, 6, 7 years old. There was a learning curve there. Yes, there's a learning curve with Jonathan Kuminga speaking to the media. There's a learning curve there. So I don't really know his personality per se. He's also quiet, but in a different way than Harrison Barnes. So there's all this baked into it. And yes, going at, like, Harrison Barnes didn't go at the media, right?
No.
He didn't go to CJ Holmes of then the San Francisco Chronicle.
Because he was playing.
Well, that's the thing. Correct. Right? So it's interesting to see, what if Harrison Barnes was drafted to Jonathan Kaminga's situation?
Exactly.
How he would have handled it,
how
right?
How many guys in the league would still be with the Warriors right now who were drafted in Kaminga's situation?
Yeah.
And had been treated the way he has. And you know what's changed in the 12 years since the draft pick of Harrison Barnes? Because we did the same thing to Jordan Poole. The spoiled fan base and, to a degree, the organization and the prime players have zero tolerance for others that aren't from their equity, meaning of their status in the league. Mm. Very few guys get into their little club. And I get it. Believe me, if I was as good as they were, like, you saw this with LeBron and Mario Chalmers, right? LeBron treated Mario Chalmers poorly.
I was just thinking LeBron in general. There is a part of me that, like, and people scoff at it, they hate it because of the mercenary and how cutthroat he is.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me that loves it because, you know what? He just wants to win at the highest level. And if you're not here to win with me, I'm going to kick you to the curb. But Mario Chalmers, to your point, he did contribute at a high level. Just, you're not LeBron, you're not D-Wade, you're not Bosh.
No.
Sorry, you're not a Hall of Famer.
But even Bosh, I think Bosh went through the crucible with LeBron James.
He did.
And I think at one point in time, everyone thought Bosh was the weak link and he should be run out of town.
Kevin Love, another one.
Exactly. And so I just think it's very difficult to play with these mega superstars who are generational all-timers. And what's funny to me is that We have not been able to embrace Jonathan Kuminga. If I told Warrior fans pre-championships that they would have a player as tantalizing as Jonathan Kuminga, would have been salivating for that kind of talent. We were propping up Garbo players year after year after year who were way more flawed than Jonathan Kuminga was. And I know he's not a perfect player and he's got a long way to go. All I'm saying is that if we can't celebrate this guy in one of his best weeks in the NBA, shame on us.
What are they going to pay him? They maxing him out?
Lay it out. Let it play out.
Okay.
Because here's what I would say. This is what I say. Like, this is a perfect...
That's the next conversation is what I'm saying.
But this is the inner tube season, right? So whatever he does, you sit in the inner tube, you kind of see where the river ends at the end of the year.
The river rat tube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I love that. And you say, all right, Jonathan, like, you think you're a $40 million player? Well, $40 million players close out games strongly 9 times out of 10. And that doesn't mean scoring. That doesn't mean leading the team, but, like, doing the little things, griming and boxing out and getting big rebounds and taking on defensive assignments.
Closing out baseline help, Austin Reeves, right? And the other, like, stuff like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Brother.
But this is part of the Kuminga experience that I'm telling everyone. We have to be ready for the ups and the downs. We can't just be here for the ups. You have to be here for the ups and the downs. And I think that's, like, as for so many people make excuses on the downs of Draymond Green, make some excuses on the downs of Jonathan Kuminga every now and then. That's all I'm asking. Let's be a little patient for the kid.
The coach in Vallejo, he's been patient with Jonathan Kuminga, and he's been patient waiting here.
I can't wait to hear from Coach.
What's up, Coach? You're on with
up, buddy?
Spadoni and Shasky in the Morning Roast. How you doing, man?
Hey, good, Spadone. Shasky, and Happy New Year to you both. And Shasky, I can't agree with you more. I don't know any player that's perfect, okay? And no matter what Kuminga does, everyone tries to find something that he doesn't do. Now, Kuminga has been great drawing fouls for the Warriors. When was the last time a Warrior went to the line 14 times in one game? And that's not only good for Kuminga, is good for the Warrior team because he puts the other team in foul trouble. And that's a big part of basketball. So Kuminga is great at that. He played 37 minutes the other night, one turnover, one. So can we put the rest that he doesn't have good handles with the ball? I mean, he's improved greatly in that. But they'll pick out, oh, he didn't rotate over for Wiggins when Wiggins just totally went to sleep on Reeves because he didn't think Reeves would try to even take him to the hoop. So Wiggins snoozed. Yeah, Kuminga could have rotated over, but the big part of that was Wiggins, because Wiggins was playing Reeves for an outside shot, and he got beat on the dribble, and he never thought Reeves could beat him on the dribble, and Reeves did. Now, Kuminga, there's, again, no one plays a perfect game. You can pick any player in history, and I could show you a weak part of their game, whether it's Jordan, LeBron, Kobe, Steph. You can always point out something weak. So I just get tired of people pointing out
Oh, Kuminga didn't rotate over. Oh, Kuminga, he lost the handle. He's allowed to make a turnover. Everybody makes turnovers.
Exactly.
It's basketball. You know, it's basketball. So I'm with you, Shasky. Let's celebrate on a historic moment of Jonathan Kuminga and the Golden State Warriors, and that's all Coach, we should talk about.
Coach, before you go, we all acknowledge how rare and how special Steph Curry is. But if you watch, and I know you watch, because that's why I want to have it. If you watch the games, you're starting to see it. Like, he's just, no one's saying he's not great, and he can't be great like he did on Christmas. But the days of him dragging this team through the crucible of an 82-game season and then being the vintage self, everyone get on my back at every single time, those days are starting to be few and far between. He needs guys who can go every single night. And Kuminga's a guy who can go every night.
I totally agree. And I think right along with him is Trayce Jackson-Davis. He plays above the rim.
Yeah.
He's a good low post player. He's very strong down there. And if they let Kuminga and Trayce go, and looks like Steph and Draymond are willing to hand over the keys.
Yeah.
That's what's so great.
Yeah.
Steph and Draymond is buying into it. So I wish the fans would buy into it too. I know it's hard getting off our hero, Steph, but it looks like it's a new era, and I think we should just go all in on Kuminga.
Thanks, Coach.
I'm with you. And I'm not saying trade everything to run everything that Kuminga wants. Like, no, that's foolish. But like, what I'm saying is we're in a transition period. It's Curry's team. But we need to be preparing ourselves for the mantle to be passed over to Jonathan Kuminga. Is it a year from now? Is it 3 years from now? I don't know, but I think more times than not, like what you saw on Saturday night was special. You saw Jonathan Kuminga take control of that game in the waning moments and the team back out of the way and let him do his thing. And I thought he did it on both ends.
I've been very impressed with JK and Trayce Jackson-Davis to this point. And you know, I think people are sleeping a little bit because he left the game early, but he was handling Anthony Davis earlier in that game. It was a few possessions. It was 7 minutes, but he was more than holding his own. I've seen that against Anthony Davis, one of the premier, if not one of the best defenders in the NBA. And I've seen it against Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's won DPOYs and who is an MVP and one of the top five players in the NBA when he is on. So yeah, I've seen him do it against Giannis and AD. I'm sold on what he could do against the big boys, all right? Now, I need a larger sample size.
Of course.
But I know, at the very least, he is capable and up to the task, one Trayce Jackson-Davis.
And
all right.
He's really opened my eyes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because
he had like a two-week period where he was not playing well. And I would say last, what do you think, week and a half? He's been awesome.
Awesome. You know what else is awesome? Well, I guess it's not really awesome, depending on how you view it. The injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
This is only awesome for the doctors that have to do the procedures, right? The Warriors will be without Brandon Pajemski for tonight's game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Pods exited the Warriors' win over the Suns Saturday night with an abdominal injury. Also out for the Warriors tonight is Gary Payton II, as he continues to deal with a calf injury. Moses Moody is probable to play despite battling knee soreness. The injury report is brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We'll dive more into the Warriors, dive more into the 49ers, who are playing a game tonight. Yes, the 49ers are playing on national television tonight against the potential number one seed in the NFC. How big of a game is this for Brock Purdy, for Kyle Shanahan, for Dan Campbell, and for Jared Goff, by the way, to get some revenge from the NFC Championship lost earlier this calendar year? We'll get into that. Lomas Brown joining us at 9:20. Played for the Lions, does their radio color analyst for their Ryan's Lions radio network. So 9:20, we'll talk to Lomas. And we still got some Giants thoughts as well, because something took place over the weekend that's really upsetting Joe Shasky. We'll get into that. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky, it's the Morning Roast, it's 95.7 The Game.